Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
You keep going back to Matthew chapter 18 and what the Lord said on that occasion. And I want to point out to you as we begin this that people have often misunderstood what the Lord and His church were all about. Many people, when Jesus came, were expecting a very dominant, forceful, powerful leader who would be a militaristic kind of leader or king. That's not who He was. Jesus was a kind, humble man. In fact, if you notice Matthew chapter 10, He is described as the meek and the lowly. Isaiah prophesied about this in Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 4. He says there that He was despised and rejected of men, a man acquainted with sorrow and grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. He was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God. People looked at Jesus and said, how can a man who suffers on a cross be the Savior of the world? And Paul would speak to the Galatians about the scandal of the cross. People had difficulty understanding that. When Paul wrote the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, he spoke to them and said, when I am weak, then I am strong. The world today thinks one way, and our Lord teaches a different way. They could not conceive of the fact of greatness being servitude. They could not understand, as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 20, that the greatest among you will be the servant or the slave of all. Well, in this passage, Jesus uses a figure of speech called a simile, using the words like or as. And He called a little child unto Him. And He said, except you become like or as little children. Little children. What I would like for us to do is to look at Matthew 18, first of all, at the text, and then some of the teachings as time permits. To begin with, I'd like for you to first begin with me at Mark chapter 9 and verse 33. We're going to use Matthew 18 as the primary part of our text, but when you go to Mark's account in Mark chapter 9 and verse 33, Mark records, then He came to Capernaum, and when He was in the house, He asked, what was it that you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And He sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, let him be last of all and servant of all. Then He took a little child and set him in the midst. And when He had taken him in His arms, He said to them, I'd like you to notice, first of all, a few details. Jesus has been going through Galilee, and now He has left Caesarea Philippi, where He had said, upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He has arrived now back at the city of Capernaum. That's that city on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. We know, according to Mark chapter 1 and verse 29, that they came out of the synagogue and went immediately into the house of Peter. So what we observe, the lesson, I guess you would say, the background, is that the Lord is in Capernaum. He's with the 12. He's in Peter's house. And the Lord knows there's a topic that's on their mind. And the topic on their mind is who is the greatest and the kingdom of heaven. Who is the greatest? Now, for me to explain that to you properly, you have to back up and ask, what has the Lord been teaching that has made them think about this? If you go back to Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, He said, there are some of you standing here who will not taste of death till you see the kingdom of God come or present with power. For them, the kingdom was the future. It was something in the very near future that they knew they would be experiencing. Some of them would not die. These are fairly young men. It's important that you and I understand that their concept of the kingdom was that it was going to be like a worldly kingdom. If you go to Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 and following, they have the same dispute going on about who is greatest. And Jesus said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. The way the world perceives things, if you want to be great, what you do is you stand up and stand out with power, with influence, that you exercise dominion and authority. Look at our leaders in our country and the countries around the world. What kind of men tend to rise to the point of leadership? They're the ones who command people, you do this, you do that. Rarely do you find a meek, humble, kind person as a leader. But Jesus said, that's the way the world thinks, but the way I teach is different. And so as I begin this lesson, I think it's important that we understand that what the Lord is trying to do is to get them to understand the kingdom of heaven is different. And you and I have to make sure that we don't misunderstand what it means to be a great Christian today. Now, what you would understand is that you think about those apostles that are there. You have Peter and James and John who have not only been with the Lord in Matthew 16 when He says, upon this rock I will build my church. But in Matthew chapter 17, it is Peter, James, and John who go with the Lord to the Mount of Transfiguration. And perhaps they're in Peter's house. And they're disputing about who is going to be the greatest. Is it going to be James and John? We know they already had that in their mind from Matthew chapter 20. Is it Peter, upon whom many people have placed a great amount of emphasis? Who is going to be the greatest among them? And so what does the Lord do? He brings in a little child. How little of a child is this? Well, according to Mark chapter 9 and verse 36, He takes him up into His arms. So we're talking about a child small enough to be taken up in the arms. 2 years old, 3 years old, maybe four. If this is Peter's house, which it's certainly possible according to the way Mark's account reads, could this be Peter's little child? What do people tend to think about the little children? All little children are to be seen and not heard. Little children, you don't listen to what they say. They listen to what you say. And so Jesus takes this little child and He says, unless you are, notice this word, converted. If you're reading the English Standard, American Standard, turn. The original word describes a person who's going in one direction and makes a complete about face and starts going the other direction. And what the Lord is trying to do is to turn their thinking. They have been thinking to be great means that you have authority, that you have power over others, that you can command others what to do. And Jesus says, you are missing the point. Your thinking is going that direction. And He says, unless you are converted, unless you turn your mind around, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to be a part of it like you ought to be. Humbles himself as this little child. Now, I've tried to think this week as I've had opportunity to sit and ponder a number of things. What is it about little children and this childlike behavior that the Lord wants? Obviously, the Lord's not wanting us to be childish, but He is wanting the kind of attitude that a child possesses. One of the first things that a child possesses is humility. You imagine yourself as a 3-year-old or 4-year-old. I know that's hard to think to some of us, but everybody's bigger than you are. You look up to everybody. Everybody's tall. Everyone can tell you what to do. You are dependent on everyone. You're dependent on people opening doors for you. You're dependent upon people giving you an opportunity to talk. You're dependent on people feeding you. You understand your role of dependence. Do we understand that? Those who exercise great authority tend to think of themselves, I am self-sufficient. I am the one who gives the commands, the rules. The children don't understand that. Number two, they are trusting. A little child will trust anybody bigger than they are. They've not been poisoned by the years of hardness of life. And so they have that childlike trust. And Jesus is warning people to trust Him just like a child would trust their parents. A third thing is they're teachable. You can take a little child and teach them very easily, very well. I remember when the boys were little, when they were 3 or 4 years old, I thought they were walking question marks. Where did this come from? How does this work? What are you doing? And these little question marks are there because they're wanting to absorb information. That's what little children do. Become as a little child. Be willing to listen, to absorb, to learn. Little children are forgiving. You can see a little boy and another little boy and they'll be playing. They'll get mad at one another and one of them will stick their bottom lip out. I'm not going to play with Jimmy anymore. And 5 minutes later, the two of them are running up and down the aisles and they're just having a great time together. They can get over it. They don't hold grudges. You have to get to be old to where you say, I'm not going to get over that. I'm not going to forget that. Little children possess some tremendous characters. They are honest. A little child will look up to you and say, boy, you're a big person. But they do so out of innocence. It's only when we get older that we say things like that to be mean and to be cruel. You see, little children sometimes are honest and brutally honest. But we have to understand that Jesus is saying, I want you to become like little children. There's a lot about little children. Their innocence, their honesty, their forgiveness, their teachability, their trust, the humility that the Lord says is great. But the second thing the Lord does is to talk about these little children and about the way they're to be treated. I want to notice with you just 4 verses in Matthew chapter 18 that follow this. Verses 5 and 6, verse 10 and verse 14. In verses 5 and 6, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him for a millstone were hung around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And dropping down to verse 10, take heed that you do not despise these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, dropping down to verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, the reason why I bring that up is verses 1 through 4 concentrate on the character of that little child and how we ought to embrace that. But then you notice the protection and the concern of the Lord for those little children, beginning with verse 5. And what does the Lord want with regards to these children? Well, first of all, He's concerned that we treat them like we would treat Him. That we treat children like we would treat Him. When I come to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, the Lord gives a picture of a shepherd separating his sheep and his goats. And those that He set on His right hand, He talks about those who were hungry, those who were naked, those who were sick, those who were in prison. And He says, now you enter into the joys of My Father. And they said, Lord, when do we see You like that? And He said, inasmuch as You did it to the least of these My brethren, You did it to Me. When you take the least person and you show concern, compassion, and kindness toward them, He said, You've shown it toward Me. The Lord said, when you receive one of these little ones in My name, you receive Me. Now, I don't know if you think about that a whole lot. But when you start asking, whom do we want to put on a pedestal? Whom do we want to give honor and power and prestige? It's those people who have power and prestige. But Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, My brethren, the least of these. In the Bible, the great emphasis is not on the wealthy, is not on the powerful, is not on the wise, but is upon the weak and the suffering. For instance, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll find in verse 25, He says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world that He might put to shame the wise things. And God has chosen the weak things of the world that He might put to shame the things that are mighty. God is trying to say, in His kingdom, pay attention to these little ones. Pay attention to these little ones. I think that we ought to open our eyes and look down. And look down at these little children and realize how precious they are to God. Now I want you to notice what is said in verse 6, though. He speaks about those who would cause one of these little ones to sin. Now I think that's where the Lord is going to start using it in a figurative sense. He says, I want you to become as little children. And someone might say, well, if I become humble and kind and gentle and meek like a child, you know what will happen? People will run all over me. And the Lord is saying, no, I want my little ones protected. If you are like a little one, you will be protected. And the Lord says that if you cause one of them to sin or to fall, it would be better to have a millstone hung around your neck and to be thrown in the depth of the sea. You got to remember, he's in Capernaum, a seaport town. It's a town where the people fish, and a millstone is what they would press their olives with on a daily basis. And that millstone, big, heavy, probably 50-pound stone, would be thrown into the sea around a person's neck. Do you know how that takes place? those children who are trusting and those children who are kind and innocent, have people who come to them and they say things they ought not. In Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, Paul says to mark or to note those who cause occasions of division and stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And he says, those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ for their own belly, and by their smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple, the young ones, the children. He said, you've got to understand who they are. Now you drop down to verse 10, and he says, do not despise them. The word despise here literally means to think down upon. We would say you don't look down upon them. He says you don't think down upon them. You don't look at them and say they don't have any importance. And so that man might understand, he said their angels in heaven always see my Father's face. The angelic host carry messages. They were the messengers from God to man. They are also messengers about what is going on in the affairs of this world to God. We know that because, like for instance, Luke chapter 15, verse 10, there's joy in the presence of the angels of the heaven over one sinner who repents, and there's sadness in the presence of the angels of God over someone who would cause a little one to stumble. And they stand before the Father's face. They're in heaven. These are not guardian angels. They're in heaven and they see God's face. Let me tell you, you cause a little child to stumble and fall, the angels of heaven are going to tell God what you're doing. Now that points out how serious this might be. God does not want any of them to perish. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9 says that He's not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. You see, what this text teaches us is that God wants us to develop these childlike characteristics and show a proper concern for them. Now, point number two, and I'm going to just very quickly summarize this. There's two things that I think we ought to walk away with from this, the teaching of it. We ought to look at our own view of ourselves. When we look at ourselves and we look at the example in the Bible, what does God tell us about ourselves? Romans 12:3 says, I say through the grace of God given to me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What God wants Tony to do and what God wants you to do is to not think too highly of yourself. Put yourself in a childlike position. In Proverbs 26 and verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. I need to be teachable. I need to be pliable, moldable by God so that God can take me and shape me into something useful for Him. The second thing is we've got to make sure that we look at our children, the little ones, and be concerned about the direction they're going. This past week, sitting in a hospital, I heard several times about instances. In fact, there was a child in the hospital just a couple doors down from my mother. Drugs and alcohol are killing a generation of people. These drugs are being manufactured and sold, and little children are buying them and becoming hooked on them. the liquor industry is trying to push and promote through a number of different means the fact that it's all right to drink. And little children are being led to believe this is acceptable behavior. The reason why they're being led to think it's acceptable behavior is because they're looking up at adults and seeing them do the same thing. And I know what the Lord says about leading little children astray. We ought to be concerned. Now, parents, I may offend some of you. We ought to be concerned about our little children enough to bring them not only to worship, but to Bible school. We ought to see that they get the training in God's Word that they ought to receive. The most important place that your children can be is with those who are the children of other Christians. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in 10 to 15 to 20 years. Some of you are going to cry bitter tears because you're going to say, my child no longer goes to church. My child no longer wants to do the right thing. When you told your child that it's all right for them to skip whatever activities are a part of the church because you put secular things or recreational things in front of spiritual things, you've taught your children wrong. I want to encourage you, look at those sweet, innocent faces and realize how valuable they were to the Lord. And how valuable they ought to be to us as well. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The world today says, be strong, be powerful. Exhibit that power over others. Jesus says, be meek, be kind, be humble, be like a little child. If you're not a Christian, you can be a child of the Lord this morning. You can be born into the family. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, he talked to Nicodemus and he said, you must be born again. This morning you can be born again as Jesus taught Nicodemus by being born of the water and the Spirit. You can come forward and say, I want to be a Christian. And you can say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins. And then we'll assist you by being baptized into Christ.